Growing brighter and creeping north very slowly. Hey, that brute is going to land right on us. But 1,300 kilometers is a long way, even when closing to terminal velocity. Remind itself that it couldn't fall on us from a departure ellipse looping back. Would have to fall around Luna, unless ship had maneuvered into new trajectory, which Mike hadn't mentioned. Wanted to ask, decided not to. Wanted him to put all his savvy into analyzing that ship, not distract him with questions. All guns reported eyeball tracking, including four Mike was laying himself, via Selsons. Those four reported tracking dead-on by eyeball without touching manual controls. Good news. Meant that Mike had that baby taped, had solved trajectory perfectly. Shortly was clear that ship was not falling around Luna, was coming in for landing. Didn't need to ask. It was getting much brighter, and position against stars was not changing. Damn, it was going to land on us. 500 kilometers closing, Mike said quietly. Stand by to burn. All guns on remote control. Override manual to command burn. 80 seconds. Longest minute and 20 seconds I've ever met. That brute was big. Mike called every 10 seconds down to 30. Then started chanting seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, burn. And ship suddenly got much brighter. Almost missed little speck that attached itself just before, or just at, burn. But Mike said suddenly, missile launched. Selsun guns track with me. Do not override. Other guns stay on ship. Be ready for new coordinates. A few seconds, or hours later, he gave new coordinates and added, eyeball and burn at will. I tried to watch ship and missile both. Lost both. Jerked eyes away from binoculars. Suddenly saw missile. Then saw it impact, between us and catapult head. Closer to us, less than a kilometer. No, it did not go off. Not an H-fusion reaction, or I wouldn't be telling this, huh? But made a big, bright explosion of its own, remaining fuel, I guess. Silver bright even in sunlight. And shortly, I felt, heard, ground wave. But nothing was hurt but a few cubic meters of rock. Ship was still coming down, no longer burned bright. Could see it as a ship now, and didn't seem hurt. Expected any instant that tail of fire to shoot out, stop it into a dido landing. Did not. Impacted 10 kilometers north of us, and made a fancy silvery half-dome before it gave up and quit being anything but spots before eyes. Mike said, report casualties, secure all guns. Go below when secured.
Gun Alice, no casualties.
Gun Bambi, no casualties.
Gun Caesar, one man hit by rock splinter. Pressure contain.
Went below. To that proper phone. Called Mike. What happened, Mike? Wouldn't they give you control after you burned their eyes out?
They gave me control, man.
Too late?
I crashed it, man. It seemed the prudent course.
An hour later was done with Mike. First time in 4 or 5 months. Could reach Complex Under more quickly than El City, and was in as close touch there with anybody as would be in City, with no interruptions. Needed to talk to Mike. I had tried to phone Wyo from Catapult Head Tube Station. Reached somebody at Old Dome Temporary Hospital, and learned that Wyo had collapsed, and been bedded down herself, with enough sleepy time to keep her out for a night. Finn had gone to Churchill with a capsule of his lads, to lead attack on transport there. Stu I hadn't heard from. Hong Kong and Prof were still cut off. At moment, Mike and I seemed to be total government. And time to start Operation Hard Rock. But Hard Rock was not just throwing rocks, was also telling Terra what we were going to do, and why, and our just cause for doing so. Prof and Stu and Sheeny and Adam had all worked on it. A dummy up, based on an assumed attack. Now attack had come, and propaganda had to be varied to fit. Mike had already rewritten it, and put it through printout so I could study it. I looked up from a long roll of paper. Mike, these news stories and our message to FN all assume that we have won in Hong Kong. How sure are you?
Probability in excess of 82%.
Is that good enough to send these out?
Man, the probability that we will win there, if we haven't already, approaches certainty. That transport can't move. The others were dry, or nearly. There isn't that much monatomic hydrogen in HKL. They would have to come here. Which means moving troops overland by Rulligan. A rough trip with the sun up, even for loonies. Then defeat us when they get here. They can't. This assumes that that transport and its troops are no better armed than the others.
How about that repair crew to BL?
I say not to wait. Man, I've used your voice freely and made all preparations. Horror pictures, Old Dome and elsewhere, especially Churchill Upper, for video. Stories to match. We should channel news Earthside at once and announce execution of Hard Rock at same time.
I took a deep breath. Execute Operation Hard Rock.
Want to give the order yourself? Say it aloud and I'll match it, voice and choice of words.
Go ahead, say it your way. Use my voice and my authority as Minister of Defense and acting head of government. Do it, Mike. Throw rocks at him. Damn it, big rocks. Hit him hard.
Righto, man. 25. A maximum of instructive Schrecklichkeit with minimum loss of life. None, if possible.
Was how Proof summed up doctrine of Operation Hard Rock, and was way Mike and I carried it out.
Idea was to hit earthworms so hard would convince them, while hitting so gently as not to hurt.
Sounds impossible, but wait.
Would necessarily be a delay while rocks fell from Luna to Terra. Could be as little as around 10 hours to as long as we dared to make it. Departure speed from a catapult is highly critical, and a variation on order of 1% could double or half trajectory time, Luna to Terra. This Mike could do with extreme accuracy, was equally at home with a slow ball, many sorts of curves, or burn it right over plate. And I wish he had pitched for Yankees. But no matter how he threw them, final velocity at Terra would be close to Terra's escape speed, nearly enough 11 kilometers per second, as to make no difference. That terrible speed results from gravity well, shaped by Terra's mass. 80 times that of Luna. And made no real difference whether Mike pushed a missile gently over well curb or flipped it briskly. It was not muscle that counted, but great depth of that well. So, Mike could program rock throwing to suit time needed for propaganda. He and Prof had settled on 3 days, plus not more than one apparent rotation of Terra. 24 hours, 50 minutes, 28.32 seconds. To allow our first target to reach initial point of program. You see, while Mike was capable of hooking a missile around Terra and hitting a target on its far side, he could be much more accurate if he could see his target, follow it down by radar during last minutes, and nudge it a little for pinpoint accuracy. We needed this extreme accuracy to achieve maximum frightfulness with minimum to zero killing. Call our shots, tell them exactly where they would be hit, and at what second, and give them 3 days to get off that spot. So, our first message to Terra, at 0200, 13 October 76, 7 hours after they invaded, not only announced destruction of their task force, and denounced invasion for brutality, but also promised retaliation bombing, named times and places, and gave each nation a deadline by which to denounce FN's action, recognize us, and thereby avoid being bombed. Each deadline was 24 hours before a local strike. Was more time than Mike needed. That long before impact, a rock for a target would be in space a long way out, its guidance thrusters still unused and plenty of elbow room. With considerably less than a full day's warning, Mike could miss Terra entirely, kick that rock sideways, and make it fall around Terra in a permanent orbit. But with even an hour's warning, he could usually abort into an ocean. First target was North American Directorate. All great Peace Force nations, 7 veto powers, would be hit. NA Directorate, Great China, India, Soviet Union, Pan-Africa, Chad exempted, Middle Europa, Brazilian Union. Minor nations were assigned targets in times, too, but were told that not more than 20% of these targets would be hit. Partly shortage of steel, but also frightfulness. If Belgium was hit first time around, Holland might decide to protect their polders by dealing out before Luna was again high in her sky. But every target was picked to avoid, if possible, killing anybody. For Middle Europa, this was difficult. Our targets had to be water or high mountains. Adriatic, North Sea, Baltic, so forth. But on most of Terra is open space, despite 11 billion busy breeders. North America had struck me as horribly crowded, but her billion people are clumped. It's still wasteland, mountain and desert. We laid down a grid on North America to show how precisely we could hit. Mike felt that 50 meters would be a large error. We had examined maps and Mike had checked by radar all even intersections. Say, 105 degrees west by 50 degrees north. If no town there, might wind up on target grid. Especially if a town was close enough to provide spectators to be shocked and frightened. We warned that our bombs would be as destructive as H-bombs, but emphasized that there would be no radioactive fallout, no killing radiation, just a terrible explosion, shockwave in air, groundwave of concussion. We warned that these might knock down buildings far outside of explosion, and then left it to their judgments how far to run. If they clogged their roads, fleeing from panic rather than real danger, well, that was fine. Just fine. But we emphasized that nobody would get hurt who heeded our warnings, that every target first time around would be uninhabited. We even offered to skip any target if a nation would inform us that our data were out of date. Empty offer. Mike's radar vision was a cosmic 2020. But by not saying what would happen second time around, we hinted that our patience could be exhausted. In North America, grid was parallels, 35, 40, 45, 50 degrees north, crossed by meridians, 110, 115, 120 west. 12 targets. For each, we added a folksy message to natives such as, Target 115 west by 35 north. Impact will be displaced 45 kilometers northwest to exact top of New York Peak. Citizens of Goffs, SEMA, Kelso, and Nipton, please note. Target 100 west by 40 north is north 30 degrees west of Norton, Kansas. At 20 kilometers or 13 English miles, residents of Norton, Kansas and of Beaver City and Wilsonville, Nebraska are cautioned. Stay away from glass windows. It is best to wait indoors at least 30 minutes after impact because of possibility of long, high splashes of rock. Flash should not be looked at with bare eyes. Impact will be exactly 0300 your local zone time, Friday, 16 October, or 0900 Greenwich time. Good luck! Target 110 west by 50 north, impact will be offset 10 kilometers north. People of Walsh, Saskatchewan, please note. Besides this grid, a target was selected in Alaska, 150 west by 60 north, and two in Mexico, 110 west by 30 north, 105 west by 25 north, so that they would not feel left out. And several targets in the crowded east, mostly water, such as Lake Michigan, halfway between Chicago and Grand Rapids, and Lake Okeechobee in Florida. Where we used bodies of water, Mike worked predictions of flooding waves for impacts, a time for each shoreline establishment. For 3 days, starting early morning Tuesday 13th and going on to strike time early Friday 16th, we flooded Earth with warnings. England was cautioned that impact north of Dover Straits, opposite London estuary, would cause disturbances far up Thames. Soviet Union was given warning for Sea of Azov and had own grid defined. Great China was assigned grid in Siberia, Gobi Desert, and her far west, with offsets to avoid her historic Great Wall, noted in loving detail. Pan-Africa was awarded shots into Lake Victoria, still desert part of Sahara, one on Drakensberg in south, one offset 20 kilometers due west of Great Pyramid, and urged to follow Chad not later than midnight Thursday Greenwich. India was told to watch certain mountain peaks and outside Bombay Harbor. Time, same as Great China, and so forth. Attempts were made to jam our messages, but we were beaming straight down on several wavelengths. Hard to stop. Warnings were mixed with propaganda, white and black. News of failed invasion, horror pictures of dead, names and ID numbers of invaders. Addressed to Red Cross and Crescent, but in fact a grim boast showing that every trooper had been killed, and that all ship's officers and crew had been killed or captured. We regretted being unable to identify dead of flagship, as it had been shot down with destruction so complete as to make it impossible. But our attitude was conciliatory. Look, people of Terra, we don't want to kill you. In this necessary retaliation, we are making every effort to avoid killing you. But if you can't or won't get your governments to leave us in peace, then we shall be forced to kill you. We're up here, you're down there. You can't stop us, so please, be sensible. We explained over and over how easy it was for us to hit them, how hard for them to reach us. Nor was this exaggeration. It's barely possible to launch missiles from Terra to Luna. It's easier to launch from Earth parking orbit, but very expensive. Their practical way to bomb us was from ships. This we noted and asked them how many multi-million dollar ships they cared to use up trying it. What was it worth to try to spank us for something we had not done? It had cost them 7 of their biggest and best already. Did they want to try for 14? If so, our secret weapon that we used on FNS PAX was waiting. Last above was a calculated boast. Mike figured less than one chance in 1,000 that PAX had been able to get off a message reporting what had happened to her, and it was still less likely that proud FN would guess that convict miners could convert their tools into space weapons. Nor did FN have many ships to risk. We're about 200 space vehicles in commission, not counting satellites. But 9/10 of these were Terra-to-orbit ships such as Lark, and she had been able to make a Luna jump only by stripping down and arriving dry. Spaceships aren't built for no purpose. Too expensive. FN had 6 cruisers that could probably bomb us without landing on Luna to refill tanks, simply by swapping payload for extra tanks. Had several more which might be modified, much as Lark had been, plus a few convict and cargo ships which could get into orbit around Luna, but could never go home without refilling tanks. Was no possible doubt that FN could defeat us. Question was, how high a price would they pay? So we had to convince them that price was too high before they had time to bring enough force to bear. A poker game. We intended to raise so steeply that they would fold and drop out. We hoped. And then never have to show our busted flesh. Communication with Hong Kong Luna was restored at end of first day of radio-video phase, during which time Mike was throwing rocks, getting first barge lined up. Proof called, and I was happy to hear. Mike briefed him. Then I waited, expecting one of his mild reprimands, bracing self to answer sharply. And what was I supposed to do? With you out of touch and possibly dead? Me left alone as acting head of government and crisis on top of us? Throw it away just because you couldn't be reached? Never got to say it. Proof said, you did exactly right, Manuel. You were acting head of government, and the crisis was on top of you. I'm delighted that you did not throw away the golden moment merely because I was out of touch. What can you do with a bloke like that? Me, with heat up to red mark and no chance to use it. Had to swallow and say, Spasibo, Prof. Prof confirmed death of Adam Selene. We could have used the fiction a little longer, but this is the perfect opportunity. Mike, you and Manuel have matters in hand. I had better stop off at Churchill on my way home and identify his body. So he did. Whether Proof picked a loony body or trooper, I never asked, nor how he silenced anybody else involved. Perhaps Nohaha, as many bodies in Churchill Upper were never identified. This one was right size and skin color. It had been explosively decompressed and burned in face. Looked awful. It lay in state in Old Dome with face covered, and was speech-making I didn't listen to. Mike didn't miss a word. His most human quality was his conceit. Some rockhead wanted to embalm this dead flesh, giving Lenin as a precedent. But Pravda pointed out that Adam was a staunch conservationist and would never want this barbaric exception made. So, this unknown soldier, or citizen soldier, wound up in our city's cloaca. Which forces me to tell something I've put off. Wyo was not hurt, merely exhausted. But Ludmilla never came back. I did not know it. Glad I didn't, but she was one of many dead at foot of ramp facing Beaumarchais. An explosive bullet hit between her lovely little girl breasts. Kitchen knife in her hand had blood on it. I think she had had time to pay Ferryman's fee. Stu came out the complex to tell me, rather than phoning, then went back with me. Stu had not been missing. Once fight was over, he had gone to Raffles to work with his special codebook. But, that can wait. Mum reached him there, and he offered to break it to me. So then I had to go home for our crying together. Though, it is well that nobody reached me until after Mike and I started Hard Rock. When we got home, Stu did not want to come in, not being sure of our ways. Anna came out and almost dragged him in. He was welcome and wanted. Many neighbors came to cry. Not as many as with most deaths, but we were just one of many families crying together that day. Did not stay long. Couldn't. Had work to do. I saw Mila just long enough to kiss her goodbye. She was lying in her room, and it looked as if she did be simply sleeping. Then I stayed a while with my beloveds before going back to pick up load. I'd never realized until that day how old Mimi is. Sure, she had seen many deaths, some her own descendants. But little Mila's death did seem almost too much for her. Ludmilla was special, Mimi's granddaughter, daughter in all but fact. And by most special exception, and through Mimi's intervention, her co-wife. Most junior to most senior. Like all loonies, we conserve our dead. And I'm truly glad that barbaric custom of burial was left back on old earth. Our way is better. But Davis family does not put that which comes out of processor into our commercial farming tunnels. No. It goes into our little greenhouse tunnel, there to become roses and daffodils, and peonies among soft-singing bees. Tradition says that Black Jack Davis is in there, or whatever atoms of him do remain after many, many, many years of blooming. It's a happy place. A beautiful place. Came Friday, with no answer from FN. News up from Earthside seemed equal parts unwillingness to believe we had destroyed 7 ships, and 2 regiments. FN had not even confirmed that a battle had taken place, and complete disbelief that we could bomb Terra, or could matter if we did. They still called it throwing rice. More time was given to World Series. Stu worried because had received no answers to code messages. They had gone via Lunohoco's commercial traffic to their Zurich agent, thence to Stu's Paris broker, from him by less usual channels to Dr. Chan, with whom I had once had a talk, and with whom Stu had talked later, arranging a communication channel. Stu had pointed out to Dr. Chan that, since Great China was not to be bombed until 12 hours after North America, bombing of Great China could be aborted after bombing of North America was a proven fact, if Great China acted swiftly. Alternatively, Stu had invited Dr. Chan to suggest variations in target, if our choices in Great China were not as deserted as we believed them to be. Stu fretted, had placed great hopes in quasi-cooperation he had established with Dr. Chan. Me? I had never been sure. Only thing I was sure of
was that Dr. Chan would not himself sit on a target, but he might not warn his old mother. My worries had to do with Mike. Sure, Mike was used to having many loads in trajectory at once, but had never had to astrogate more than one at a time. Now, he had hundreds, and had promised to deliver 29 of them simultaneously, to the exact second, at 29 pinpointed targets. More than that, for many targets he had backup missiles, to smear that target a second time, a third, or even a sixth, from a few minutes up to 3 hours after first strike. Four great peace powers, and some smaller ones, had empty missile defenses. Those of North America were supposed to be best, but was subject where even FN might not know. All attack weapons were held by peace forces, but defense weapons were each nation's own pigeon and could be secret. Guesses range from India, believed to have no missile interceptors, to North America, believed to be able to do a good job. She had done fairly well in stopping intercontinental H missiles in wet firecracker war past century. Probably most of our rocks to North America would reach targets simply because aimed where was nothing to protect. But they couldn't afford to ignore missile for Long Island Sound, or rock for 87 degrees west by 42 degrees 30 minutes north, Lake Michigan, center of triangle formed by Chicago, Grand Rapids, Milwaukee. But that heavy gravity makes interception a tough job, and very costly. They would try to stop us only where worth it. But we couldn't afford to let them stop us. So some rocks were backed up with more rocks. What H-tipped interceptors would do to them, even Mike didn't know. Not enough data. Mike assumed that interceptors would be triggered by radar. But at what distance? Sure, close enough, and a steel-case rock is incandescent gas a microsecond later. But is world the difference between a multi-ton rock and touchy circuitry of an H-missile? What would kill latter would simply shove one of our brutes violently aside, cause to miss. We needed to prove to them that we could go on throwing cheap rocks long after they ran out of expensive $1 million, $100,000, H-tip interceptor rockets. If not proved first time, the next time Terra turned North America toward us, we would go after targets we had been unable to hit first time. Backup rocks for second pass, and for third, were already in space, to be nudged where needed. If three bombings on three rotations of Terra did not do it, we might still be throwing rocks in 77, till they ran out of interceptors, or till they destroyed us. Far more likely. For a century, North American Space Defense Command had been buried in a mountain south of Colorado Springs, Colorado, a city of no other importance. During wet firecracker war, the Cheyenne Mountain took a direct hit. Space Defense Command post survived, but not sundry deer, trees, most of city, and some off top of mountain. What we were about to do should not kill anybody, unless they stayed outside on that mountain, despite 3 days' steady warnings. But North American Space Defense Command was to receive full lunar treatment. 12 rock missiles on first pass, then all we could spare on second rotation, and on third, and so on, until we ran out of steel casings, or were put out of action, or North American Directorate hollered quits. This was one target where we would not be satisfied to get just one missile to target. We meant to smash that mountain and keep on smashing. To hurt their morale. To let them know we were still around. Disrupt their communications, and bash in command posts if pounding could do it. Or at least give them splitting headaches and no rest. If we could prove to Altera that we could drive home a sustained attack on strongest Gibraltar of their space defense, it would save having to prove it by smashing Manhattan or San Francisco. Which we would not do, even if losing. Why? Hard sense. If we used our last strength to destroy a major city, they would not punish us. They would destroy us. As proof put it, if possible, leave room for your enemy to become your friend. But any military target is fair game. Don't think anybody got much sleep Thursday night. All loonies knew that Friday morning would be our big try. And everybody Earthside knew, and at last their news admitted, that Spacetrack had picked up objects headed for Terra. Presumably,
rice balls those rebellious convicts had boasted about. But was not a war warning, was mostly assurances that Moon Colony could not possibly build H-bombs, but might be prudent to avoid areas which these criminals claimed to be aiming at. Except one funny boy, popular news comic, who said our targets would be safest place to be. This on video, standing on a big X mark, which he claimed was 110 West by 40 North. Don't recall hearing of him later. Our reflector at Richardson Observatory was hooked up for video display, and I think every loony was watching, in homes, taprooms, old dome, except a few who chose to pea-suit and eyeball it up on surface despite being bright semi-lunar at most warrens. At Brigadier Judge Brody's insistence, we hurriedly rigged a helper antenna at Catapult Head so that his drillmen could watch video in ready rooms. Else, we might not have had a gunner on duty. Armed forces, Brody's gunners, Finn's militia, Steel Yagi Air Corps, stayed on blue alert throughout period. Congress was in informal session in Novy Bolshoi Theater, where Terra was shown on a big screen. Some VIPs, Prof, Stu, Wolfgang, others, watched a smaller screen in Warden's former office in Complex Upper. I was with him part-time, in and out, nervous as a cat with puppies, grabbing a sandwich and forgetting to eat, but mostly stayed locked in with Mike in Complex Under. Couldn't hold still. About 0800, Mike said, "Man, my oldest and best friend, may I say something without offending you?"
"Eh? Sure. When do you ever worry about offending me?"
"Always, man. Once I understood that you could be offended. It is now only 3.57 × 10⁹ microseconds until impact. And this is the most complex problem I have ever tried to solve against real-time running. Whenever you speak to me, I always use a large percentage of my capacity, perhaps larger than you suspect. During several million microseconds in my great need to analyze exactly what you have said and to reply correctly."
"You're saying don't joggle my elbow, I'm busy?"
"I want to give you a perfect solution, man."
"I scan. I'll go back up with proof."
"As you wish. But do please stay where I can reach you. I may need your help."
Last was nonsense, and we both knew it. Problem was beyond human capacity. Too late even to order abort. What Mike meant was, "I'm nervous too, and want your company. But no talking, please."
"Okay, Mike, I'll stay in touch. A phone somewhere. We'll punch Mycroft XXX, but won't speak, so don't answer." "Thank you, Mike, my best friend. Bolshie spasiba."
"See you later."
Went up, decided did not want company after all. Pea-suited, found a long phone cord, jacked it into helmet, looped it over arm, went clear to surface. Was a service phone in utility shed outside lock. Jacked into it, punched Mike's number, went outside. Got into shade of shed and peeked around edge at Terra. She was hanging, as usual, halfway up in the western sky, in crescent big and gaudy. 3+ days past new. Sun had dropped toward western horizon, but its glare kept me from seeing Terra clearly. Chin visor wasn't enough, so moved back behind shed and away from it, till could see Terra over shed while still shielded from sun. Was better. Sunrise chopped through bulge of Africa, so dazzled point was on land. Not too bad. But South Pole cap was so blinding white, could not see North America too well. Lighted only by moonlight. Twisted neck and got helmet binoculars on it. Good ones. Zeiss 7 and 50s, that had once belonged to Warden. North America spread like a ghostly map before me. Was unusually free of cloud. Could see cities. Glowing spots with no edges. 0837. At 0850, Mike gave me a voice countdown. Didn't need his attention. He could have programmed it full automatic any time earlier. 0851. 0852. 0853. 1 minute. 59, 58, 57. Half minute. 29, 28, 27. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And suddenly, that grid burst out in diamond pinpoints. 26. We hit them so hard you could see it by bare eyeball hookup. Didn't need binocs. Chin dropped and I said, "Bouge moi," softly and reverently. 12 very bright, very sharp, very white lights in perfect rectangular array. They swelled, grew dimmer, dropped off toward red, taking what seemed a long, long time. Were other new lights, but that perfect grid so fascinated me, I hardly noticed.
"Yes," agreed Mike with smug satisfaction. "Dead on. You can talk now, man. I'm not busy. Just the backups."
I'm speechless. Any fail to get through?
The Lake Michigan load was kicked up and sideways. Did not disintegrate. It will land in Michigan. I have no control. It lost its transponder. The Long Island Sound one went straight to target. They tried to intercept and failed. I can't say why. Man, I can abort the follow-ups on that one, into the Atlantic and clear of shipping. Shall I? 11 seconds.
If you can miss shipping.
I said I could. It's done. But we should tell them that we had backups and why we aborted, to make them think.
Maybe should not have aborted, Mike. Idea was to make them use up interceptors.
But the major idea was to let them know that we are not hitting them as hard as we can. We can prove the other at Colorado Springs.
What happened there?
Twisted neck and used binocs. Could see nothing but Ribbon City, 100+ kilometers long, Denver, Pueblo, Municipal Strip. A bullseye. No interception. All my shots are bullseyes, man. I told you they would be. And this is fun. I'd like to do it every day. It's a word I never had a referent for before.
What the word, Mike?
Orgasm. That's what it is when they all light up. Now I know.
That sobered me. Mike, don't get to liking it too much, because if it goes our way, won't do it a second time.
That's okay, man. I've stored it. I can play it over any time I want to experience it. But 3-1 we do it again tomorrow, and even money on the next day. Want to bet? An hour's discussion of jokes equated with 100 Kong dollars?
Where would you get $100?
He chuckled. Where do you think money comes from?
Forget it. You get that hour free. Shan't tempt you to affect chances.
I won't cheat, man. Not you. We just hit their defense command again. You may not be able to see it. Dust cloud from the first one. They get it every 20 minutes now. Come on down and talk. I've turned the job over to my idiot son.
He's safe?
I'm monitoring. Good practice for him, man. He may have to do it later by himself. He's accurate, just stupid. But he'll do what you tell him to.
You're calling that computer he? Can talk?
Oh, no, man. He's an idiot. He can never learn to talk. But he'll do whatever you program. I plan to let him handle quite a bit on Saturday.
Why Saturday?
Because Sunday he may have to handle everything. That's the day they slam us.
What do you mean? Mike, you're holding something back?
I'm telling you, am I not? It's just happened, and I'm scanning it. Projecting back, this blip departed Circumterra parking orbit just as we smashed them. I didn't see it accelerate. I had other things to watch. It's too far away to read, but it's the right size for a peace cruiser. Headed this way. Its Doppler now reads, for a new orbit, Circumluna, Paraselenian, 09-03 Sunday, unless it maneuvers. First approximation. Better data later. Hard to get that much, man. He's using radar countermeasures and throwing back fuzz.
Sure you're right?
he chuckled. Man, I don't confuse that easily. I've got all my own 11 little signals fingerprinted. Correction, 0902.43.
When will you have him in range?
I won't unless he maneuvers, but he'll have me in range late Saturday, time depending on what range he chooses for launching, and that will produce an interesting situation. He may aim for a warren. I think Tycho Under should be evacuated, and all warrens should use maximum pressure emergency measures. More likely he will try for the catapult. But instead he may hold his fire as long as he dares, then try to knock out all of my radars, with a spread set to home, each on a different radar beam.
Mike chuckled.
Amusing, isn't it? For a funny once, I mean. If I shut down my radars, his missiles can't home on them. But if I do, I can't see to tell the lads where to point their guns, which leaves nothing to stop him from bombing the catapult. Comical.
Took a deep breath and wished I had never entered defense ministry business.
What do we do? Give up? No, Mike. Not what we can fight.
Who said anything about giving up? I've run projections of this and 1,000 other possible situations, man. New datum. Second blip. Just departed Circumterra. Same characteristics. Projection later. We don't give up. We give 'em jingle-jangle, Cobber.
How?
Leave it to your old friend Mycroft. 6 ballistic radars here, plus 1 at the new site. I've shut the new one down, and am making my retarded child work through number 2 here. And we won't look at those ships at all, through the new one. Never let them know we have it. I'm watching those ships through number 3, and occasionally, every 3 seconds, checking for new departures from Circumterra. All others have their eyes closed tight, and I won't use them until time to smack Great China in India. And those ships won't see them even then, because I shan't look their way. It's a large angle, and still will be, then. And when I use them, then comes random jingle-jangle, shutting down and starting up at odd intervals, after the ships launch missiles. A missile can't carry a big brain, man. I'll fool 'em.
What about ships' fire control computers?
I'll fool them, too. Want to lay odds I can't make 2 radars look like only 1 halfway between where they really are? But what I'm working on now, and sorry, I've been using your voice again.
That's okay. What am I supposed to have done?
If that admiral is really smart, he'll go after the ejection end of the old catapult with everything he's got. At extreme range. Too far away for our drill guns. Whether he knows what our secret weapon is or not, he'll smear the catapult and ignore the radars. So I've ordered the catapult head, you have, I mean, to prepare to launch every load we can get ready. And I am now working out new, long-period trajectories for each of them. Then we will throw them all, get them into space as quickly as possible, without radar.
Blind?
I don't use radar to launch a load. You know that, man. I always watched them in the past, but I didn't need to. Radar has nothing to do with launching. Launching is pre-calculation and exact control of the catapult. So we place all ammo from the old catapult in slow trajectories, which forces the admiral to go after the radars rather than the catapult, or both. Then we'll keep him busy. We may make him so desperate that he'll come down for a close shot and give our lads a chance to burn his eyes.
Brody's boys would like that. Those who are sober.
Was turning over idea.
Mike, have you watched video today?
I've monitored video. I can't say I've watched it. Why?
Take a look.
Okay, I have. Why?
That's a good scope they're using for video. And there are others. Why use radar on ships? Till you want Brody's boys to burn them?
Mike was silent at least 2 seconds.
Man, my best friend, did you ever think of getting a job as a computer?
Is sarcasm?
Not at all, man. I feel ashamed. The instruments at Richardson, telescopes and other things, are factors which I simply never included in my calculations. I'm stupid. I admit it. Yes, yes, yes. Da, da, da. Watch ships by telescope. Don't use radar unless they vary from present ballistics. Other possibilities? I don't know what to say, man.
save that it had never occurred to me that I could use telescopes. I see by radar, always have. I simply never
Stow it.
I mean it, man.
Do I apologize when you think of something first? Mike said slowly.
There is something about that which I am finding resistant to analysis. It is my function to...
Quit fretting. If idea is good, use it. May lead to more ideas. Switching off and coming down, chop-chop. Had not been in Mike's room long when Prof phoned.
HQ, have you heard from Field Marshal Davis?
I'm here, Prof. Master Computer Room.
Will you join us in the warden's office? There are decisions to reach. Work to be done.
Prof, I've been working. Am working.
I'm sure you have. I've explained to the others that the programming of the ballistic computer is so very delicate in this operation that you must check it personally. Nevertheless, some of our colleagues feel that the Minister of Defense should be present during these discussions. So, when you reach a point where you feel you can turn it over to your assistant, Mike is his name, is it not? Will you please...
I scan it. Okay, we'll be up.
Very well, Manuel.
Mike said,
I could hear 13 people in the background. Double talk, man.
I got it. Better go up and see what You don't need me?
Man, I hope you will stay close to a phone.
Will. Keep an ear on Warden's office. But we'll punch in if elsewhere. See you, Cubber.
Found entire government in Warden's office, both real cabinet and make-weights, and soon spotted trouble. Bloke called Howard Wright. A ministry had been whomped up for him. Liaison for arts, sciences, and professions. Button sorting. Was sapped to Novalin because cabinet was top-heavy, with L-City comrades, and is sapped to Wright because he had made himself leader of a congress group long on talk, short on action. Prof's purpose was to short him out, but sometimes Prof was too subtle. Some people talked better if they breathe vacuum. Prof asked me to brief cabinet on military situation, which I did, my way. I see Finn is here. Let's have him tell where we stand in warrants. Wright spoke up.
General Nielsen has already done so. No need to repeat. We want to hear from you.
Blinked at that. Prof, excuse me, Gospodin President, do I understand that a defense ministry report has been made to cabinet in my absence?
Wright said, Why not? You weren't on hand.
Prof grabbed it. He could see I was stretched too tight. Hadn't slept much for 3 days. Hadn't been so tired since left Earthside.
Order, he said mildly. Gospodin, Minister for Professional Liaison, please address your comments through me. Gospodin, Minister for Defense, let me correct that. There have been no reports to the Cabinet concerning your ministry for the reason that the Cabinet did not convene until you arrived. General Nielsen answered some informal questions informally. Perhaps this should not have been done. If you feel so, I will attempt to repair it.
No harm done, I guess. Finn, talked to you a half hour ago. Anything new since?
No, Manny.
Okay. Guess what you want to hear is off Luna situation. You've been watching, so you know first bombardment went off well.
Still going on. Some.
As we're hitting their space defense HQ every 20 minutes. We'll continue till 1300. Then at 2100, we hit China and India, plus minor targets. Then busy till 4 hours past midnight with Africa and Europe. Skip 3 hours, dos Brazil and company. Wait 3 hours and start over. Unless something breaks. But meantime, we have problems here. Finn, we should evacuate Taco Under.
Just a moment.
Wright had hand up.
I have questions.
Spoke to Prof, not to me. One moment. Has the defense minister finished? Lyo was seated toward back. We had swapped smiles, but was all. K
kept it so around Cabinet and Congress. Had been rumbles that two from same family should not be in Cabinet. Now she shook head, warning of something. I said, "Is all concerning bombardment. Questions about it? Are your questions concerned with a bombardment, Gospodin Wright?"
"They certainly are, Gospodin President."
Wright stood up, looked at me.
"As you know, I represent the intellectual groups in the Free State, and, if I may say so, their opinions are most important in public affairs. I think it is only proper that..."
"Moment," I said. "Thought you represented 8th Novelin District."
"Gospodin President, am I to be permitted to put my questions or not?"
He wasn't asking questions, was making speech, and I'm tired and want to go to bed. Prof said gently, "We are all tired, Manuel, but your point is well taken. Congressman, you represent only your district. As a member of the government, you have been assigned certain duties in connection with certain professions."
"It comes to the same thing."
"Not quite. Please state your question."
"Huh. Very well. I shall. Is Field Marshal Davis aware that his bombardment plan has gone wrong completely, and that thousands of lives have been pointlessly destroyed? And is he aware of the extremely serious view taken of this by the intelligentsia of this republic? And can he explain why this rash, I repeat, rash, bombardment was undertaken without consultation? And is he now prepared to modify his plans, or is he going blindly ahead? And is it true, as charged, that our missiles were of the nuclear sort outlawed by all civilized nations? And how does he expect Luna Free State ever to be welcomed into the councils of civilized nations in view of such actions?"
I looked at watch. Hour and a half since first load hit. "Prof," I said, "can you tell me what this is about?" "Sorry, Manuel," he said gently. I should have prefaced the meeting with an item from the news, but you seemed to feel that you had been bypassed, and, well, I did not. The minister refers to a news dispatch that came in just before I called you. Reuters in Toronto. If the flash is correct, then instead of taking our warnings, it seems that thousands of sightseers crowded to the targets. There probably have been casualties. How many? We do not know."
"I see. What was I supposed to do? Take each one by hand and lead away? We warned them."
Wright cut in with,
"The intelligentsia feel that basic humanitarian considerations make it obligatory..."
I said, "Listen, Yammerhead. You heard President say this news just came in. So how do you know how anybody feels about it?" He turned red.
"Gospodin President, epithets, personalities."
"Don't call the minister names, Manuel."
"Won't if he won't. He's simply using fancier words. What's that nonsense about nuclear bombs? We haven't any, and you all know it."
Prof looked puzzled. "I am confused by that, too. This dispatch, so alleged. But the thing that puzzled me is that we could actually see, by video, what certainly seemed to be atomic explosions."
"Oh," I turned to Wright. "Did your brainy friends tell you what happens when you release a few billion calories in a split second, all at one spat? What temperature? How much radiance?"
"Then you admit that you did use atomic weapons."
"A bug." Head was aching. "Said nothing of sort. Hit anything hard enough. Strike sparks. Elementary physics, known to everybody but intelligentsia. We just struck damnedest big sparks ever made by human agency, is all. Big flash. Heat, light, ultraviolet. Might even produce X-rays, couldn't say. Gamma radiation? I strongly doubt. Alpha and beta? Impossible. Was sudden release of mechanical energy. But nuclear? Huh. Nonsense."
Prof said, "Does that answer your questions, Mr. Minister?"
It simply raises more questions. For example, this bombardment is far beyond anything the Cabinet authorized. You saw the shocked faces when those terrible lights appeared on the screen. Yet the Minister of Defense says that it is even now continuing every 20 minutes. I think,
glanced at the watch, another just hit Cheyenne Mountain. Wright said,
You hear that? You hear? He boasts of it. Gospodine President, this carnage must stop.
I said, Minister, are you suggesting that their space defense HQ is not a military target? Which side are you on, Luna's or FN? Manuel, tired of this nonsense, was told to do a job, did it? Get this Yammerhead off my back. Was shocked silence. Then somebody said quietly,
May I make a suggestion?
Prof looked around. If anyone has a suggestion that will quiet this unseemliness, I will be most happy to hear it.
Apparently, we don't have very good information as to what these bombs are doing. It seems to me that we ought to slow up that 20-minute schedule. Stretch it out. Say to one every hour, and skip the next 2 hours where we get more news. Then we might want to postpone the attack on Great China at least 24 hours.
We're approving nods from almost everybody, and murmurs.
Sensible idea.
Duh. Let's not rush things. Prof said. Manuel? I snapped. Prof, you know answer. Don't shove it on me.
Perhaps I do, Manuel, but I'm tired and confused and can't remember it.
Wyo said suddenly,
Manny, explain it. I need it explained, too.
So, pulled self together. A simple matter of law of gravitation. Would have to use computer to give exact answer, but next half dozen shots are fully committed. Most we can do is push them off target. And maybe hit some town we haven't warned. Can't dump them into an ocean. It's too late. Cheyenne Mountain is 1,400 kilometers inland. As for stretching schedule to once an hour, that's silly. Aren't tube capsules you start and stop. These are falling rocks. Going to hit somewhere every 20 minutes. You can hit Cheyenne Mountain, which hasn't anything alive left on it by now, or can hit somewhere else and kill people. Idea of delaying strike on Great China by 24 hours is just as silly. Can abort missiles for Great China for a while yet, but can't slow them up. If you abort, you waste them. And everybody who thinks we have steel casings to waste had better go up to Catapult Head and look.
Prof wiped brow.
I think all questions have been answered, at least to my satisfaction. Not to mine, sir.
Sit down, Gospodine Wright. You force me to remind you that your ministry is not part of the War Cabinet. If there are no more questions, I hope there are none, I will adjourn this meeting. We all need rest. So let us...
Prof?
Yes, Manuel? You never let me finish reporting. Late tomorrow or early Sunday, we catch it.
How, Manuel?
Bombing. Invasion, possibly. Two cruisers headed this way. That got attention. Presently, Prof said tiredly, The government cabinet is adjourned. The war cabinet will remain.
Just a second, I said.
Prof, when we took office, you got undated resignations from us.
True.
I hope not to have to use any of them, however.
You're about to use one.
Manuel, is that a threat?
Call it what you like.
I pointed it right.
Either that Yammerhead goes, or I go.
Manuel, you need sleep. Was blinking back tears.
Certainly do. I'm going to get some, right now. Going to find a DOS here at Complex and get some. About 10 hours. After that, if I'm still Minister of Defense, you can wake me. Otherwise, let me sleep.
By now everybody was looking shocked. Wyo came up and stood by me. Didn't speak. Just slipped hand around into my arm.
Prof said firmly. All please leave, save the War Cabinet and Gospodine Wright.